Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh.
Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. I give you an invitation to stay with me for the next 30 minutes as we take a look into God's Word. We'll play you a song and have a short word of prayer, and just trust the Lord will bless you and encourage you and use this broadcast for His glory and for your good. Well, let me give you my church announcements as usual. On Sunday morning, we begin our Sunday school at 9:45. Our morning worship at 10:45, our Sunday evening worship at 6, and our Wednesday at 7. This is at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church. We still believe the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and that's what we preach. And if you'd like to be a part of that, If maybe you've been disappointed with some of the other things you've tried lately, you ought to come give us a try. We're a loving congregation. We love each other, and a lot of love and compassion among us. We pray for each other, and we encourage each other. So we give you an invitation to come. And then June the 2nd, would like to invite you to our homecoming. Now, that morning, Brother Gary Crisp will be preaching. Service will start at 11, and the Dumplin Valley Singers will be doing our singing for us that morning. I believe if you came, you'd be truly blessed. Now, let's have a song, and then we'll be back with today's message.
When I think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery, even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. Though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. Just want to praise you. to all my sin, forgiveness would be mine. And faithful to your promise, cleanse the stain that sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. You assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Lord, you've been good to me.
Singing, you've been good to me. And I believe most any reasonable person looking back on your life and seeing all the times that you could have been harmed or you could have been hurt, you could have been killed, and you'd have to say you've been good to me. I certainly must say that in my life he has been so good to me. He has been so much better than I ever deserved, so much better than I could have ever paid him for. And I just appreciate him so much for who he is and just the fact that he's God's only son. And Jesus Christ came and died in our place that we could become the sons of God. Well, now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be back on the broadcast this morning. Thank you for the ones that are listening and thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, we ask you today to look upon us with mercy, and I pray that you'll bless each one in the audience that's listening today and take this broadcast and use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray, Lord, that somehow that can be resolved and that you'll just bless Israel and continue to keep them strong. And Lord, I pray that the rest of the world I know is looking upon them, down upon them. And even this week, the United States began to drift away from them. I pray, Lord, you bless them, help them. Forgive us, Lord, if we've failed to support them as we should, because you said you'll curse them that curse them, and you'll bless them that bless them. And I believe that with all my heart. They're your chosen people. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them and that you'll help them through these times. Lord, I pray for the sick and afflicted today, those that are in pain, those that are in doubt, those that are not sure where tomorrow is going to lead to, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them. Those that are saved, I pray you'll be near them, and those that are not, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. Lord, if there's one out there today that this is their last day and they're not saved, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart today and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Pray for the sick. Pray for the lost. Lord, pray for the broadcast, for our church, and for all the things around us. Lord, help us to be a shining light. And take the broadcast now and use it for your glory. And all that you do, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are going to continue our series on Christ as the Rock. And we have seen many, many places through the Bible where he is referred to as the Rock. And we do know that he was a type. The Rock is a type of Christ. And we do know that because our springboard scripture was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, where he said, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And we have looked at several different references to Christ throughout the Bible as the Rock. We started out, first of all, he was a rock of results. We saw that when they thirsted in the desert, and God supplied water to them through the rock, and they got results from the rock. We find it was a rock of reparation. They had journeyed to Rephidim. They had basically come to a dead end, and there was no time left. And there was no life because there was no water. And in that hour, he came through and brought life because he was the water that came from the rock. And I can say to you today, friend, that there will come a time when life as we know it on this earth will end. And then the only way that there's going to be any consolation or any comfort in that hour is if we have the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ living in our heart, and we have been saved by the grace of God from our sins. We have received Jesus as our Savior and have been born again. Last week we were looking at a rock of refreshment, the sustaining rock. God told Moses the second time, well, we first talked about him being a smitten rock, but we said that that referred to him on the cross as he was smitten of God. The Bible says that he was smitten of God. And we do know that he did die under the penalty of our sin. And he paid the sin debt that you and I owed. And through him, we can be saved and reconciled back to God the Father. And then we talked about sustaining water, and how that today he does sustain us, that same rock. Now, we did see that smitten rock, and then the second time that they got in a mess, they just was told to speak to the rock. And last week we compared that and showed you how that those two things were delineated there in the story of the Lord Jesus Christ washing the feet of the disciples. When Peter said, "You're never going to wash my feet," and Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." And then he said, "Well, not just my feet, he said, "Give me a bath." And we looked at that passage, and we did find that Jesus told him, he said, "Those that behold need not to bathe, just simply to wash their feet." And so we do find that the bath refers to the time that the smitten rock there dealt with our heart and brought to us salvation through faith in his name. And then we do know that the speaking rock speaks of the fact that those feet had to be washed, the people would go to the public bathhouses in that day and they'd get a bath. And then when they would walk back to their home, their feet would get dirty. And so that's when they would wash their feet. And we said that, first of all, we've been washed in the blood. We've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, grace through grace. And through the faith in His name, we have been saved. And therefore, we don't need to be washed all over again every day. But as we walk through this world, we do become defiled. We're in a hostile world. We're in a hostile environment. We're in a environment that is opposed to everything that's good, godly, and righteous, and we live and walk in that. And eventually, we're going to pick up some contamination, and we're going to be bothered by that. And when that happens, John told us that if we could confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. And we do find that that's the way it works when you're saved. And there are times we'll get defiled. There are times we'll get tired. There'll be times we'll feel like we can't go on. There'll be times that when we're in trouble, we don't know what to do. And it's those times that we speak to the rock. We go to the rock and we talk to Him, and we ask Him for that refreshment. We ask Him for that refreshing and that reviving and that ability to overcome whatever is bothering us and to move on. And then next, I want you to notice that He is a rock of relief. He is a satisfying rock. Well, if we mentioned last week about how that Jesus had gone into Samaria and He had met the woman at the well, and He had told her that if she'd asked, He'd give her water that she'd never thirst again. And that is a rock of relief. That's the satisfying rock. He told her that there'd be like a well springing up inside of you unto everlasting life. And I thought about the fact that it was like an artesian well springing up within the heart of someone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. And then from thereafter, when we need refreshing, when we need reviving, when we need we just need a pick-me-up, then we go to Him and He will satisfy that need, whatever it might be. I was reminded of my older sister who years and years ago, she's in heaven now, the old prayer warrior, passed away a few years back. And when she was a young person, her and her husband just had a young son born, and they were looking for a place to build them a house, and they found some land out near the city where they lived, and they got it really cheap because there had been well after well dug there, and they would always get down a certain depth and hit the old slate rock and could not go any further. So the fact that there was no water there, nobody wanted the land, so they bought it because at that time it was still fairly new technology. Not everybody had seen it, but that was when well drilling, deep well drilling, first became popular. Now, I'm talking a long time ago. So they knew that they could get a well by drilling, so they did that. They bought the land. They got the well drilling company to come and start drilling a well. And they had gone down and gone almost as far as he had steel to go, and he hit a small stream. And he told them, he said, well, it's not going to be a lot of water, but he said, what I can do, I can go on down about another, I forget how many feet, maybe a piece of steel for the drill, and give you a lot of storage. And that way, even though it's not a real strong stream, you'll have a lot of storage, and you should have water for whatever you need. So that's what they decided to do. Well, lo and behold, when he got down several more feet, he absolutely hit what he said was an underground river. And he told them, when he pulled that drill steel out and proved that well, they pump them and prove them. When they did that, the man that drilled the well told them, he said, "I'll tell you what," said, "I have hit an underground stream," and he said, "You could turn that faucet on right now and let it run from now on. Never turn it off, and you would never run out of water." That's how that it was like an artesian well. I mean, they used to grow the most beautiful gardens you've ever seen because there was no shortage of water. It didn't matter if it was a drought or what. They'd just run that hose out there at night and turn it on and let it run. And they had more water than you could possibly think of anything to do about. And that's just the way it is with this well of water that springs up after the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us and put the Spirit of God inside of us. And that rock, my friend, that supplies that satisfying water of life that springs up inside of us and we'll never, ever thirst again. We live in a country that has a lot of thirsty people. They're thirsting for power. They're thirsting for money. They're thirsting for recognition. They're thirsting for just about everything in the world except righteousness. And God said, "Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he'll be filled." And I can promise you that if you know this rock, the satisfying rock, then he will absolutely do that. If you want to know more about him, if you want to be closer to him, you want to have that satisfying rock satisfy your every need, he can do it. He put that Spirit inside of you. And when everything else seems to be falling apart, and when the world seems to be going just down the tubes just as fast as it can go, I want you to know that he can satisfy those longings. He can satisfy that fear that you might have. And then can I say that he is a rock of safety? Not much safety in this world today, as I mentioned already, the fighting and the stuff that's going on in Israel. I mean, we're sitting on the verge of a world war. Got a madman over in Russia that's trying to just itching for a reason to push the nuclear button. So there's not much safety, and there's certainly not much safety for Israel. But I was reading some things. And over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 32, he's speaking about some things that's going to happen in the tribulation and the deliverance that'll come. And he said, begin reading with verse number 1. He said, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." So, think about a rock of safety in a weary land, and where there is absolutely like a desert and the sun's beating and bearing down on you and there is no shelter. And think about finding this great overhanging rock where you can get underneath it and be out of the sun and be in a place that is safe. But then I'm reminded also that no matter what happens over there in Israel, God's got their back. And I'm reminded that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9, it says, "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, what it's talking about here is during the tribulation, whether you realize it or not, right now Satan is the prince of the power of the air of this world. And he is allowed to travel his realm is in the air. He's allowed to come before God and accuse the brethren. But during the time of the tribulation, there's going to come a time that he's going to lose that privilege. He's going to be cast out of heaven and cast back down and confined to the surface of the earth. Now, when that happens, verse number 13 said, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." And that refers you back to verse number 5, where it says, "She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." What's it talking about? The woman that produced the child was none other than Israel. Out of Israel came the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's happening is that when Satan sees that he has been cast out of heaven, he's going to take his anger out on God's chosen people, Israel, there during the tribulation. And God said in these verses that I read to you that she had a place prepared that she could go to. And so she will be able to go to this place of safety. And so we find that, and I don't know, I probably ain't going to get too far into this. My time is getting close. But what it's talking about, I believe, is a place called Petra. It is practically solid rock. It is a fortress that cannot be penetrated. And you could not possibly get any military equipment in there. There's no passages wide enough for that to happen. And it's practically impossible to siege and to take. And I believe that that's where that they'll go. I believe that God has prepared that place for them. Now, it's over in the edge of Jordan. And I believe that's where that they'll go. Now, if you disagree with that, if you want to, that's your privilege. I'm just saying I believe that's where they'll go. It's called Petrus. It's a rock. It is where an ancient civilization lived there. And there are catacombs in the rock. And the only thing is there is no water source in there. And for that reason, some people say that they cannot survive in there. However, I did a little research on that site, and it's true, there's no source of water in there. However, that rock has cisterns, basically storage rooms all over the place. And in the times of high rain, those cisterns or those voids in that rock all fill up with water. And I believe that God will send enough water along in the form of rain into those collection points that they'll be able to stay there in safety until the Lord sees fit to come in His power and deliver them. Now, you can disagree with that if you want to. You have a right to believe what you wish to. I believe that that's exactly where they'll go. Now my time is practically gone. This is a little bit different. I haven't really preached an evangelistic message. It's more of historical and future. And hope it's been an encouragement to you as a child of God. Friend, if you're not saved, I do want you to know you can have that well of water springing up inside of you. I want you to know that that longing that you have day and night that you can't satisfy, the Lord Jesus Christ stands ready to give you this water of satisfaction and to come in and to dwell with you and to be your friend and to be your companion and to comfort you in your hour of times of trouble and discomfort and disbelief. Friend, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy your greatest need. If you've never been saved, I want to invite you to come today and just humble your heart before Him. Ask Him to save you. Confess that you're lost, that you're a sinner and need to be saved. Ask Him to save you, and on the authority of God's Word, I promise you, He'll do that. Now may God bless you.